At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Congratulations, Raven.
Okay. What? What did I get?
You just won the lottery.
Oh, nice.
Millions
I am out
of
here.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. Congratulations. You just won all this money, okay?
Okay.
Now you look over at your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stay with her married, even though you're now a lottery millionaire?
Yes, because we've built this thing together, of course. How much money are we talking about?
That's
the thing, too. Is
$5 million.
You get divorced, $5 million. You're giving up a third of it to the lawyers already before you started, and you already gave up a third for taxes.
One in six people would leave their spouse if they won the lottery.
Wow.
One in six, which is interesting because, remember, they always say that a big reason why people stay together is because of money and finances and all that.
Yeah, I don't think that's a great reason to stay together, but I understand how people do that. Yeah, I think that when you have a vision of winning the lottery, somebody that's being asked winning the lottery, walking out of, you know, a place or whatever, in their mind, they think it's all their fantasies come true, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can go off, they can go shopping, they can get that ridiculous sports car, they can go on vacation, they can live in Vegas, they can do whatever it is that they thought.
Nobody wants to live in Vegas except for you.
Well, that's one of us.
Okay.
Anyways, what I'm thinking is a lot of times what they think is immediately their spouse is going to reject half their fantasy ideas,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they need to accept, number one, that that's probably not going to happen that way. And number two, I just think that they would feel differently if they were actually put there.
All right, question. Now let's forget about that lottery. You didn't win it. Just kidding.
You know what? That was a real quick up, and now I'm already down again.
All right, congratulations, Raven.
Yeah.
Alicia, your wife won the lottery, but she doesn't want to give you any money or share it with you.
Oh, well, that's tough.
Would you leave her?
Well, I mean, if she doesn't want to give me any or share it with me, I'm entitled to half of it if I do leave her.
Oh, funny how all of a sudden changed.
I didn't say that if I left her, she wouldn't get half the money. I mean, the law provides for her in that sense.
50% of people say that if their spouse won the lottery but did not share the winnings with them, they would leave them in a heartbeat.
Well, if you leave, again, you're entitled to half, you know? So it's all about trust. I mean, there's no way that she couldn't share it with me.
You would just take it. So that's what you're saying.
I'm not.
You would violently
that.
Take.
You have put
your
a
winnings.
Lot of words in my mouth already this morning.
She
here.
Just won the lottery, and you're ready to divorce her for half that cash.
Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable.
Uh huh.
I'm excited for either of us to win the lottery, and I know we would share. It would be fine.
Now, if you won the lottery, would you give me any money?
No, not you.
Well, I'm definitely divorcing you.
Listen, to how many times you hurt my feelings already today?
I have an unpopular opinion, and I didn't think it was unpopular until my friend started berating me on text message yesterday.
Oh, you'll get beat up on this one.
It's Anna and Raven. Am I out of line for thinking this? This is how this text message ended from me.
Okay.
And that's how you know you're in trouble with your friends.
Okay.
I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Oh, nice.
Anytime that you have to write, I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree, you know there's a problem.
Typically, that's like a coworker type thing, not a real friend.
Well, yeah.
When you're saying that too.
So, my daughter Hayden is in fifth grade. She's going into sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a slew of fifth grade graduations.
Does she switch schools?
Hayden does not, because she goes to a school that goes to eighth grade.
Okay.
But a lot of her friends will, including the moms of these two girls.
Right, right.
Now, take away the pandemic. Pretend like the pandemic didn't happen and this was normal times.
Of course.
This has always been a pet peeve of mine because I don't understand why you have to have fifth grade graduations.
Oh, we celebrate everything
now. Eighth grade graduations.
Everything, NSF. There's got to be a huge celebration.
What are you putting a cap and gown on a fifth grader for? What?
A sweet 16, like, it's like almost like tuition for a year. It's big money nowadays. You got to celebrate everything.
No, but a sweet 16 is a little bit different than a fifth grade or an eighth grade graduation. To me, I think it's fake.
All right,
I think they're fake graduations.
Tell me, what are the graduations you celebrate? What are the things that you celebrate? Milestones.
Okay, kindergarten graduation.
Why kindergarten?
I give that a pass because, like, it's just because it's cute.
Oh.
You know?
Right, okay. So for convenience sake, you get that one.
Yeah, that one's fine.
It's the first
adorable.
Year. They managed to stop crying when they got to nap time, so that's a celebration. I get it.
But to me, fifth grade and eighth grade don't count as graduations that should have big celebrations that go along with it.
I mean, you don't get anything with it.
No. All you're doing is going to the next grade.
You get a new locker.
You get to decide if you want to continue school after high school. So when you get
up until then, you have no choice in the matter whatsoever.
So what do we, like, I could understand maybe a high five, a great job, mommy and daddy, you're so proud of you.
Hit the Red Lobster.
Yeah, you know, end of the school year celebration. But they're putting together pizza truck parties, social distant pizza truck parties.
Oh, man.
And she decorated the house like it was like class of 2020, and I've seen it all over Facebook, too. Class of 2020. No, they are not class of 2020.
Right.
They are class of
try and do the math.
Whatever, when they graduate high school, it's going to be.
Right.
Am I out of line for thinking that it's ridiculous and that we've gone way too far with all these graduation for these milestones that don't really exist? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. My friends really know how to make me feel like a jerk sometimes.
To be fair, sometimes. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right. It's Anna and Raven. Am I out of line for thinking this? So my daughter's in fifth grade, and you know a lot of her friends are in fifth grade.
Right.
And they've been having these like elaborate graduations for the fifth graders and the eighth graders. And I don't remember having graduations when I was in fifth grade.
Oh, no. My parents, are you kidding me? They, you know... Come on, when you turn 16, when you got out of high school, you went to college, those are the times that they were celebrating. Other than that, forget it. I mean, even the Little League Championship, you got maybe got a pizza.
So I told them, I think that they're
no
fake.
No ceremony.
I think that fifth grade graduations, eighth grade graduations, they're fake, right?
But your friends are having big parties.
Right. Danielle says, they are babies and actually have some sort of attachment and it all got ripped away from them. And then she wrote, it's a badge of maturity. It's a definitive end and a new beginning. And then I go, they're watering down the real thing. They're not going to appreciate when they graduate high school the hard work that they've done.
And your idea, what is the times for graduations or parties like that?
High school.
Okay.
College. That's when you get.
That's
not
it.
Not even med school or graduate school.
What?
When you finish your four-year degree.
Okay.
That's your graduation. And when you finish your high school years, that's it.
I mean, you got to take them to dinner if they get their master's, in my opinion. But all right.
1-800-330-9999. I want to know, am I out of line about this? It's Anna and Raven. Do you think that these graduations are too much?
Well, I think the kindergarten graduations are cute, but anything above that, it's just like, yay, good job. You know, I don't know. It's like you don't celebrate your graduation every year like you celebrate your birthday. But I think the little, like, kindergarten, that's super adorable. But other than that, do the work, get through high school, get through college, celebrate that. But other than that, you know, just suck it up and go to school the next day.
As soon as they're in first grade, it's like, listen, kid, life is hard. We'll celebrate when you're 18.
Right. Yeah.
That's
keep
perfect.
Working. You're going to get there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think about having these elaborate graduations for kindergarten and fifth grade and eighth grade?
I think it's cute and we're bored. You know, like, why not? Got nothing else to do right now. You might as well, you know, throw a little party for your kindergartner. I mean, what's the point of like a one-year-old's birthday? You know, it's the same thing. You do it anyway, right?
Listen, I support play dates and the friends coming over and stuff like that. And a cake amongst the family when the kid finishes the school year. That's always a good deal. But like when you're bringing in the food trucks and you got clowns and stuff like that, I see that and I go, what?
Oh, no. I've seen that with my friends. They're getting food trucks and they're having like these social distant graduations for the fifth graders.
Oh, forget that, man. What are you, Kanye and Kim West? Come on.
All right, thank you for the call. Hi, do you think that it's over the top that they have graduations for fifth grade, eighth grade, kindergarten? Do you think it should just be high school or all these milestones should have their own graduations?
I mean, okay, listen, I get it. I get it. These graduations for fifth grade, sixth grade, kindergarten, all these pre-high school graduations are very useful for the kids' ego, but I think it's over the top and I think it's ridiculous and I think we're setting our kids up to think that like every major milestone in your life is going to have a major celebration, and that's just not true. That's like you're setting your kids up for extreme disappointment in real life.
I'll just take the word major out of it. To me, there's nothing major about getting out of grade school. Like it's a good thing, but it's not major. It's major is like getting your license. Major is going to school. Major is getting engaged, getting married. You know, those certain milestone birthdays and, of course, accomplishing something. You accomplished getting out of fifth grade.
Oh, that's how I...
Yeah. What did you accomplish?
Right. That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. If you don't think you should give your kid's teacher an end-of-the-year gift because they haven't been to school in 3 months, that's all I need to know about you. I almost forgot, to be honest. Not even like I didn't want to do it. All of a sudden, it dawned on me this past week, and I go, wait a minute, because yesterday was Hayden's last day of school.
Sure.
That's my fifth grader.
Did you have to go pick anything up?
Well, that was the whole thing. So now I'm texting all my friends, and a lot of them forgot because, you know, we haven't been to school. And we're like, we got to figure out how to get it
to them. 3 months.
Right. So I was like, so we were all going back and forth on what we should get. And usually, normally, I would give like a store certificate, like a Sephora or like a makeup place or a restaurant.
Stores are closed.
Well, not even that. Well, now they're starting to reopen you know, this week, and all that is great. But I was like, wait a minute. You don't know now, like, which side of the fence the teacher falls on.
Mm.
Like, does she not feel comfortable going there? Can she not order online? Does she not want to do that? So it was such a process. I go, that's it. Everybody gets cash.
That's it.
It's weird, right?
Remember, we've been told before that you're not really supposed to do
that. Listen, there's no more rules. I don't care.
Yeah.
And we've talked to enough teachers.
I mean, you put it
teachers.
In a card, all right?
That's what
you seal it in a card so nobody can tell.
Luckily,
they have to open
teacher.
It in their own vehicle. That's on them.
Yeah, well, and their own house. You got to figure out how to get it to them. But
right.
So, luckily, Hayden's teacher this year lives right down the street.
Perfect.
You know? So I like, you know, I put cash in a card. I'm like, go bring this to your teacher. And then you're like, I'm like, ring the doorbell, but then back up 6 feet because I don't, and make sure you have your mask on.
There's a lot of rules.
Right. And take your sister because I need a break. But don't forget about the teachers at the end of the year. They still deserve recognition. They've been working really hard these last few months.
If you nearly choked to death during a Zoom interview and all you can do is just hold the camera the other angle as you gag and I mean, I couldn't even see straight enough to get to the mute button on that one. That's all I need to know about you. It was terrible. Nice day out, right? So I say to myself, I've got a Zoom meeting. I'm going to do this outside. I'm going to go outside, sit on the patio, that kind of thing. And the first 5 minutes, I'm okay. And then the eyes start to sting. And then all of a sudden, the throat starts to itch up a little bit. And then I'm crying full-blown and choking to death.
Oh, no, you got to use that
and
mute button.
And instead of hitting the mute button after saying, excuse me, give me just a moment, all I did was just hold the screen up so they couldn't see me. Because they got the sky, but they could hear everything.
Oh, man.
What? And I had to go inside, so I had to move, walk through the house. I'm choking for a good 3.5 minutes.
I had a 2-hour Zoom meeting last night about safety protocols for, I work at a gym, so this is for a gym to go back whenever we get to go back. And it was funny because there's still people that don't understand.
They don't understand how it works.
The
mute
button.
Can you hear me?
No, but not even that. It's like there's so much noise in their background and you're trying to listen to the PowerPoint presentation and I want to literally scream, do you understand what that mute button is for?
Are you watching television?
Right. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. The New York Historical Society has launched their History Responds Initiative.
Oh, okay, good. I like that.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. And what does that mean? It means that they're basically making a time capsule to document the pandemic, and they want you to donate to it.
You know, I love old-timey stuff, right? You tie the horse up outside, you walk in.
Well, it's a little different.
Put a nickel in the saloon as he...
No one's really
plays along
riding
on the piano.
Horses right now. I mean, people are barely in cars, let alone on a horse.
Well, right. Don't ruin my old timiness.
If you want to donate to the History Responds Initiative, you can head to nyhistory.org. But these are the things that they're looking for and they've collected so far.
Okay.
Homemade hand sanitizer. We had that.
Yeah, we did that.
Yep.
It stung.
But it was good and it worked.
I mean, it certainly felt like it worked because it stung.
And it killed everything.
It just burned an epidural layer right off of your skin.
Jigsaw puzzles.
Right.
Photographs of things that are happening and things that are closed.
Okay.
Signs. Mass emails from banks, restaurants, rental car companies.
Oh, I got plenty of those.
Obviously, masks. They're looking for, like, the unique masks and all that. But not the N95s, because
we still need them.
Those are just
still
for the essential workers.
Right,
we got
gotta
it.
Have those.
Right, but I was thinking, all right, let's think about this history initiative, which is basically like a time capsule, right?
Okay.
All right, now let's get in our time machine and go to 2035.
Not only do I get the old-timey music, but we get to do the time machine?
Get in the time machine.
I love it.
Put on your seatbelt.
Oh.
Here we go. We're flying through time.
Oh, backwards.
Goodbye, pandemic.
Are we going forwards or backwards?
We're going forwards this time.
Okay. All right.
Welcome.
What do we got?
Here we are. Oh, look, we're in 2035.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Raven, remember the pandemic in 2020?
I do, yes. Oh, it feels like forever ago.
Oh, gosh.
But how could I ever forget?
Yeah, that year was awful. It was like one thing after another. But let's open up this time capsule and let's see. What did you put in your 2020 pandemic time capsule?
I love my Velcro outfit. Let's see here. From 2020, I've got photos of my stash. Oh, remember I had that pile of Spam and everything?
Right.
But I didn't go name brand.
But did you ever eat the generic Spam that you bought?
No.
I told you
there's
that you wouldn't.
There's still 48 granola bars sitting in my basement right now, 30 years later.
Oh, I wonder if they're stale.
There's photos here of my food, my fuel,
yeah,
my miscellaneous stuff like a crank radio and stuff, just in case.
Right.
Just in case North Korea showed
Remember
up.
Remember radio?
Of this.
That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Oh, and look at these. These are my my dog clippers. My wife used these to cut my hair.
Remember that? Remember
when
you used the dog clippers to cut your hair? That was a fun day.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go into my time machine. Here
we
go.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, wait. Here we go. Oh, look at my pandemic time capsule. Here's my leggings and my baggy t-shirts, but there's no bras in here.
Oh.
That's so funny. It's so funny. I went half a year without wearing a bra.
It's like
so
they
weird.
Disappeared, man.
Oh, there's the rainbow sign that I had on my front door. Remember that? All the rainbow signs?
Thank you. Yes.
Yep. Oh, look, Zoom is in here. Remember Zoom? Oh. That was awful.
Put some dirt on that.
Right.
I don't want it back out.
We'll
don't
never
let
see
it breathe again.
Yeah. Oh, and then TikTok is in here, too. That was in the pandemic time capsule. Remember when we would have to dance for 15 seconds?
Look. Yeah. Right next to the TikTok is your jealousy because you couldn't get any followers.
Hours and hours to get 15 seconds of choreo to get 2 likes and 13 views. I'm glad that's over.
And this time capsule is really revealing.
Yeah. Yeah. Home cooking is at an all-time high since the pandemic started, and a lot of people are cooking things that they've never cooked before.
That's good. Good for all of us.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. But what cooking tips are each state searching? I guess it's kind of strange because Google released the list, and I was surprised by it. What's the last thing you Googled how to cook?
I think it might have been panko shrimp. You know, I love my shrimps.
Yeah.
I love my shrimps, all right? And I got my friend that he got me hooked on the panko. He gave me, like, some instant one, like a huge box of Costco. But then when I ran out, I just had regular shrimps. So then I had to figure out how to cook. And then I'm also distrustful a lot of times of the label because something is always more delicious when made by somebody else. And then when you make it, you're like, no, it doesn't taste the same.
Oh,
so
yeah,
then I
got
to Google all the tips.
Yeah, no, my daughter tells me all the time because I make panko chicken, but I just buy the pre-panko one, which is so dumb. But she says when I panko it myself, it's wrong, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but yeah, right.
I don't know.
So I last thing I searched was how long do I boil corn? Yeah, and it turns out I'm not alone. Utah, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, and Missouri, all 4 of those states, also number one search thing on Google is how long do you boil corn? The correct answer?
Well, tell me.
7 minutes.
What did you think it was? What were you suspecting before? How long were you boiling it before?
So I would just put it on first, like when I'm making like barbecue stuff. Like,
and do you soak it the day before? Do you let it sit in the water?
No. I just.
Oh, you got to do that.
No, I don't do. You don't have to. It's according to this. I used to just let it boil for like a half hour.
Yeah.
I actually still usually just let it boil, but 7 minutes is the magic number.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Google's dumb.
All right. So other states, what are they Googling? Alaska, how to cook hooligan fish. Okay.
All right.
We don't know much about hooligan fish, so I guess if you
must
have
be the new one.
Right.
The crop is really robust this year of the hooligan fish.
California, how to cook artichokes? Good question. I have no idea.
Does anybody?
My mom makes good artichokes, stuffed artichokes. I don't know how she does it. I just assume it's, you know, witchcraft.
Ask her.
Yeah, yeah. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, how to cook fiddleheads. Remember fiddleheads, those vegetables?
Yes, we tried those.
They were disgusting.
Yeah, some people really like them.
I don't know why.
Is it because, like, you can walk down a path and find them in your backyard or something?
Isn't that
the thing with fiddleheads?
I don't know. They're gross, though.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it. I didn't think it was delicious.
Massachusetts and Jersey, how to cook lobster. Fair.
Lobster.
I mean, that's a hard thing to cook. Delaware, New Mexico, South Dakota, how to cook rice.
You wait for them to scream, and then it's over.
Is it?
I feel like there was rice everywhere, right?
How do you not know how to cook rice?
Right.
I don't know. Connecticut, how to cook steak.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you have to.
You
got to
get
kind
the times.
Of steak?
You got to get the times.
Yeah.
It's always a big thing. I have Googled times.
And New York, I'm actually dead on this one. How to cook salmon on the stove. That's hard because you got to like fry the skin. Which side goes up? Which side goes
Sear
down?
Sear it
That's
this way. Do it that way. You know what I did? I just eliminated salmon from my diet.
Number one thing that the country is searching. Idaho, Nebraska, North Dakota, and a few other states.
Okay.
How to cook bacon in the oven. So I was like, wait a minute.
Baking it instead of frying it on the pan top?
I was like, wait, who doesn't know how to cook bacon in the oven? Like, don't you just put it in?
Yeah.
So here we go. We're about to learn something.
Oh, good.
How do you cook bacon in the oven?
To cook bacon in the oven, first preheat your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Place the slices close together on a broiler pan covered with aluminum foil and put the pan in the oven.
I like that they have to tell you how to put the pan in the oven in case you forget.
I'm just going to say that her voice was not what I was expecting for bacon. She's somehow making baking bacon sadder.
Mm.
Okay, I mean, I want somebody that's like, you know, monster truck, like, bacon!
Cook the bacon for 12 to 15 minutes, then remove the pan from the oven and use tongs to flip the bacon over.
What if I want to use my fingers because I can't find
burn.
The tongs?
It's going to burn. Watch the pan, and there's going to be some sizzling.
Yeah.
Cook the bacon for another 8 to 10 minutes or until it's crispy.
Thank
remove
you,
the
robot.
Bacon from the oven and let it cool before serving.
No, just burn your tongue. You put the sizzling bacon right in.
It's a bacon robot.
Why
right
does
there.
It take 25 minutes to cook bacon when you can just put it on the stovetop for 3 minutes?
Can anybody wait that long? You know, here's the thing. It's kind of like love, all right? With bacon, you just need to follow your heart, and you'll cook it the right way.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, Idaho, Nebraska, North Dakota, and all the other states. You guys are wrong. Figure it out on your own.
Bacon, listen to your heart.
Rich elderly people do weird things, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, of course, especially if it means that there's a box somewhere out there with, like, $5 million.
Treasure chest. It's Anna and Raven. So art dealer, author, and eccentric older guy Forrest Fenn confirmed that the search is finally over.
Oh, my gosh, for what?
So 10 years ago, he hit a treasure chest. Here he is talking about it.
I found a beautiful little treasure chest. I started filling it up with wonderful things, jewelry. 2 gold nuggets weigh over a pound apiece. 265 gold coins from my collection. And I took it out and put it very secret in a very dear place. I walked back to my car smiling because I had done something that I had dreamed about for a long time.
Yeah, and now he's 85 years old and it happened.
Mm.
Yeah, thousands of people have been searching for a decade and finally it's been found by somebody who doesn't want to be named. And do you blame them? You find like $5 million treasure chest?
Yeah, because all your cousins are going to show up. Yo, man, I need a loan.
Can I have a gold nugget?
I'm thinking about starting a pressure washing business, helping brother out.
The one that weighs over a pound. Fenn says he doesn't know who the person that claimed it, but the person did say, and they confirmed it because he showed him a picture of it. He actually has it.
Right.
But there was a poem in one of his books that led him to the hiding spot, and it was somewhere in the Rocky Mountains.
People have been looking for this treasure for a long time. Few people even lost their lives looking for this treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
be careful, but it is exciting. It is fun, right?
Yeah, and he urges people to keep searching, keep being treasure hunters. And it made me start thinking, like, what was a treasure that you found?
So I found an arrowhead. I was out west, and I was traveling one of the times that I was moving across the country, because it was like 4 times. And, I was in the Badlands, and I found an arrowhead, and I might have found a piece of a fossil. Here's the thing, though. I put them in a box somewhere in my house, and I've never seen them again. So maybe if I had left a poem for myself, that would have been helpful.
Maybe just a note or an email.
I mean, I do like looking around, and archaeology is always something that fascinated me. So when I'm out in places like that, I always look. There's no fences, and there's nobody walking around in the Badlands, frankly. So you might just stumble on a T-Rex.
Yeah, my husband, my mother-in-law passed away last weekend, so he was down going through all her things.
Right.
And he brought back these binoculars, and they are so old.
Right.
And I was like, where are these from? And he says that he thinks, and now I have to do the research,
right,
that from his great-grandfather from like one of the wars, he'd
Magellan?
Be able to spot like the enemies using these.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Yeah, so I have to do more research on it. But I'm like, oh my gosh, we have a real family treasure here. Like, we get to do some research on it.
That's exciting. I hope you don't find out that it's like from Target 1992.
No.
They just look old?
I'll take a picture and send it to you later. They were so cool.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. What was the treasure that you found? It could be anything. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. A very wealthy older man named Forrest Fenn. He hid treasure in the Rocky Mountains 10 years ago. Here's what was in his treasure chest.
Jewelry, 2 gold nuggets weigh over a pound apiece, 265 gold coins from my collection.
He kind of gave clues in one of the poems. He's also an author. And sure enough, now it's been found, and it's worth about $5 million.
Now, that's exciting, man, right? Yeah. I mean, to go on an adventure that's so different from what normal life is nowadays. I salute you, sir, and I also would have liked to have found it.
Me too. It's Anna and Raven. But a lot of times we stumble upon treasures, things that we didn't even know were treasures, but we come across them and they're exciting to find and it's different and they come out of nowhere.
Right. Something in the grandma's attic or something like that. Could be anything.
Or even just walking down the street. That's happened before. One time I found $20 on the street and it was like I'd won the lottery. It was just so exciting.
At the right age, that definitely is a treasure. Yeah. In the right situation.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What treasure did you find?
Hey, so I don't know if it's considered like an actual real treasure, but my husband and I, we were doing some work in our yard, and I dug up this statue in some type of saint. And well, I think it's a saint. I don't know where it came from, but it's wearing like a cloak and a little crown and... Mm. It was upside down too.
Oh,
which
wait
was
a minute!
Really weird.
Oh, I know.
Pretty
this.
Sure that another foot down below that is your dog.
No,
somebody's dog. Or a demon.
No, saint upside down. So yes, when I was a realtor.
Yeah.
Okay. So oddly, I know this. I remember that there was this thing where you would, and this sounds awful. You would bury the saint upside down in your yard, and that would help sell your house.
Oh, good.
And I remember people like joking with me about it, and I remember somebody actually doing it.
I hope you like this house because you're never selling it now. You removed the saint demon blesser of house sales.
I don't know if it says. St. Joseph.
I don't know. It was really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took it out.
Where is it now?
It's on this little ledge I have above my window in my kitchen. So I see it when I wash dishes.
That's just nice.
A fun little reminder that, yeah, it's fun.
That's actually interesting.
I'm glad it wasn't over the dog. Okay. I am glad about that.
Yep. Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What treasure did you find?
Years ago, I was at the beach and there was something that pinched me. So I lifted my beach blanket. And there was a diamond ring.
Oh, I would have thought. I thought you'd say a crab.
Right. I was going to be like sand fleas.
And it was like a good sized diamond too. Like I actually have a diamond taken out of it, and I redid my own engagement ring with it.
That's nice. You didn't go to the lifeguard and go, somebody may have lost this. Instead, you were like, let me hold this up to the sun. It looks like a carrot and a quarter.
Beach treasure.
It is a beach treasure, but you didn't think about maybe trying to like find its owner?
That sad person.
Well, actually, I totally did. And it was at the lifeguard station for a while. And they called me and they're like, hey, listen, no one's come to claim this. So
yeah.
You found it. It's all you.
Right,
Finders keepers.
I take it to the pawn shop.
Yeah. Finders keepers, losers weepers. That stinks, though, for whoever's diamond that was. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's better than getting bit by sea lice.
That's true.
Yeah. Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple let us know what they're arguing about, and then you decide who's right. David and Sarah. Sarah, let's start with you. What's going on?
Okay. Well, listen, I know this is a really ridiculous argument. I just want to know what people have to say about it, because I've been getting a lot of shade thrown at me at home. I love Domino's pizza. It's my favorite. I think it's the best pizza in town. David's being a little ridiculous about it because there's like other locally owned pizza shops, and he's mad that I'm buying corporate pizza, but it's just my favorite. It's not about the local business. It's not about those pizzas being better or worse. I just like Domino's, and I don't understand what the big deal is.
I mean, I understand what the big deal is. You're in the pizza capital, basically, of the planet, and you're going with the cookie box cutter pizza. Now, they've come a long way, Domino's.
Some people like, but you like what you like. It's a big deal.
I mean, I know, but what's your side of this, David? I can only imagine.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm with you. I mean, this is ridiculous. Every time I want to get something, you know, that's been made from scratch or by hand or with natural ingredients, she's ordering Domino's. It's disgusting. It's like cardboard, you know?
The sauce just doesn't have enough for me, Anna.
Yeah,
all right? I need sauce with some flavor.
Yeah, but obviously there's a reason why they do so well and the reason why they exist, and it's because some people just prefer it and they like it. And if that's a matter of her taste...
Your family owns a pizza shop. How could you say that?
Because I get it. You like what you like.
Exactly.
Here's the only reason Domino's does well is because it's cheap and kids at slumber parties enjoy it. So you'd rather spend $12 for like two crappy pizzas than $20 for something that's good and actually better for you.
I used to order Domino's in college. And I'm a pizza kid. My parents own pizza restaurants.
They do have those Cinnabon-style tear things, which are really good. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I know that for myself. I'm just saying for a friend.
But I do see your side, David, about supporting local businesses. I get that, too.
And sooner or later, you just want a delicious pie.
So what's the problem here?
Domino's has all those delicious pies. Right here, I get my delicious pie.
David, what's the big deal?
I just think it's ridiculous, personally, that, you know, every Friday we have pizza night, and it's ridiculous that we give all our money to this corporate company when we could be supporting a local pizzeria.
Well, we can ask our audience what they think, and they may 100% agree with you and say, that's it, Sarah. From now on, you support local pizzerias in your area, and you learn to love those pizzas just as much as you love your Domino's. But they may see your tie too, Sarah, that there's no reason to have this argument. It's what you like, and, you know, you do your charity in other ways, but when you're ordering the dinner you want, that's the pizza you want. Do you both agree?
Yeah, I don't want to feel bad about it.
Okay, and then, David, you can't make her feel bad about it. Okay, we'll add that in.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck enforcing that. All right, you guys both agree to listen to what the audience has to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, great. Call or text 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Sarah loves her Domino's pizza. She loves it. Every Friday, it's Pizza Friday at their house, and that's what they order. And David said he's had enough. On top of the fact that he's not a big fan of it, he says we should be supporting all our local mom-and-pop shops right now that are really struggling, especially during this time.
They've done some stuff with the crust, though, man. And they've got some extra sides and stuff now. They even make sandwiches over there now.
Well, it makes a good argument. Sarah's like, it's what I like, and what's the big deal? You know, we support other businesses in other ways.
Right. Sometimes we just want some junk food. You can't have filet mignon every night.
Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999.
Morning. Oh, you know, definitely not. Domino's is not pizza. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I know that they call themselves, but it's horrible. I would recommend to them that, like, let her buy one because it's cheap as dog food anyway, and let him get a real pizza and, like, put the rest in the fridge. But no, sorry. I'm with him. You have to get, if you're going to get pizza, get pizza.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. People are fired up. People are always fired up about pizza. They get they get crazy with it.
You got your personal favorite, right? I've got a personal favorite for cheese. I got another one for veggie. I got, you know, thin crust, thick crust. Everybody, you know, got something that feels real.
So, you know, I always have a tough time with this because it's Anna and Raven. We're in Couples Court because I come from a pizza family. My dad owns pizza places ever since I was born.
So they're the greatest on the planet, right?
Well, I wasn't allowed to have any other pizza until I went to college. And it wasn't until I got to college that I actually tried different kinds of pizza. It was always my dad's places.
Did you feel like it was an illicit thing that you were doing the first time?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't take a photo and send it to your dad or anything.
To this day, if he finds out that we had pizza and we didn't get it from him,
right?
I don't understand. Nah, my pizza's not good enough for you. Oh, you're gonna go pay for pizza now. You're gonna go pay. I see. Oh, you got money? Now you gotta pay for it. It's ridiculous.
I'm not gonna make you rate the top five pizzas of life. I'm not gonna make you do that because I don't want to get you in that much trouble.
But the argument this morning is that Sarah loves her Domino's. She loves it. It's like a guilty pleasure. So on Fridays, that's what they do. They order Domino's. And David, her husband, has said, like, enough with this. Especially during times like this, we should be supporting our local pizzerias that need our money and basically have better pizza, which is you can argue that either way you want.
Listen, steak is great. Filets are fantastic. But sometimes you just want McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just want that thing that hits the spot right there. You know it's not necessarily the most nutritious or the most this or the most that, but it is what you crave.
Yeah, and a lot of people on Facebook are agreeing with him, saying that you should be supporting local restaurants at a time like this, especially local pizzerias. And then they say some not nice things about Domino's, which I'm not going to repeat.
Nice.
No. Whose side are you on this morning? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
You know, although I agree that Domino's is disgusting, I'm with the wife. It's what she likes. It's what she likes. And I don't agree with the husband that pizza belongs on the top 10 health list anywhere.
When did we start pizza shaming people?
I mean, it's happening.
It's awful. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Okay, so your local Domino's is a local store. A small percentage of profits goes to the corporation. So when you shop at your local Domino's, you are supporting a local store. Your local neighbors that are working there and the person that has franchised the business. So feel good about it.
She's bringing up a really good point.
Thank you for the call.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Oh, absolutely mom and pop places.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sarah, our audience agreed with you. David, back off. Everybody likes what they like, their guilty pleasures. It's her guilty pleasure, and if that's what she wants to order, let her order it. You can go and order from local places different nights.
All right. Yeah.
Domino's. On the one hand, obviously, Domino's, it's owned by somebody that's a local franchisee. There's people that work there that are from the neighborhood, too. So, you know, it's putting back in there. That being said, I'm with you. Sometimes you just can't do a pie like that. You've got to have something that you really have a craving for. So some nights on Fridays, it sounds like there might be two pizzas, one being delivered and one that you're picking up on the way home.
I'll try to expand my horizon. How about that?
There All you right. go. Got a problem too? Send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Sean.
Sean, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, man.
All right, Sean, I need you to do the best you can. We got $800 on the line here. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'm going to bring Raven back into the studio. This is a soundproof studio. He can't hear us out there. And ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. If you beat him, we give you $800 cash. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Keanu Reeves will reprise his role as Neo in the upcoming Matrix 4. What were the 2 colors of the pills that Morpheus offered Neo in the original Matrix?
Red and blue.
Number two, celebrities that do not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame include Beyonce, Angelina Jolie, George Clooney, and this actor that starred in movies like Training Day, Remember the Titans, and American Gangster. Who is it?
Denzel Washington.
Number three, yesterday was Bill and Ted Day as they dropped the new Bill and Ted 3rd installment movie trailer. What do Bill and Ted use to travel through time in the original movie?
Phone booth.
Number four, the Dalai Lama is putting out his first music album next month. Get excited. What religion does the Dalai Lama practice?
Buddhism.
At number five, Lollapalooza has been canceled this year. In what city is Lollapalooza usually held?
Chicago.
Oh, Sean! Come on, Raven. Come on. All 5. He got all 5.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good.
All right.
Let's see how I do. $800, huh?
Yeah. Number one, Keanu Reeves will reprise his role as Neo in the upcoming Matrix 4. What were the 2 colors of the pills that Morpheus offered Neo in the original Matrix?
You take the red pill and you find out what's going on. You take the blue pill and I don't know, whatever. You go back to sleep. Yeah, the red and blue.
Okay. Yes. Number two, celebrities that do not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame include Beyonce, Angelina Jolie, George Clooney, and this actor that starred in movies like Training Day, Remember the Titans, and American Gangster. Who is it?
It's got to be Denzel Washington.
Yes. Number three.
Shoot program.
Yesterday was Bill and Ted Day as they dropped the new Bill and Ted 3rd installment movie trailer.
I know.
What do Bill and Ted use to travel through time in the original movie?
It's a phone booth.
Yes.
Of course it's a phone booth.
This is the one that I think he needs to get wrong, Sean. Number four, the Dalai Lama is putting out his first music album next month. What religion does the Dalai Lama practice?
He's a Buddhist, and he's a Tibetan Buddhist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number five.
Come on, it's the Dalai Lama, man. That's my homie.
Lollapalooza has been canceled this year.
Dalai Lama Palooza?
In what city is Lollapalooza usually held?
Chicago, of course. Come on, 5 for 5. What's up now?
Makes me sad inside.
You know, it's a great effort, Sean. You're going to get a very sweet T-shirt, and another $100 is going to go in the pot for tomorrow. That was a great game. Best challenge yet.
Sean, call back and challenge him again. All right, great
2
job.
Weeks, bro. I'll see you.
Will do. I'm Sean, and I can't be Raven.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. Hold on.
Oh, he's got a friend laughing in the background because she knew he was so close.
Oh, another $100 in the pot, $900 tomorrow. I thought those were hard. I thought he won.
It's the Dalai Lama, man. He's my homie.
We've got the cheat sheet. The first answer is coming up at noon. The second one's coming up at 5:30 today. Get ready to play tomorrow morning for $900.
Better luck next time.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey. Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico. All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Ooh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy. It's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.